Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to hear about Padre Pio relics and their visit to the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Father James Morgan, rector of the cathedral where the relics will be, and Monsignor Charles Mangan are with us this morning for that conversation. Hope you will stick around for it. Renee Kranz will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading. Father Joseph Scholten with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, saying, "O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give to your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these I am the foremost. But for that reason I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week. From the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Kranz.
Bishop Paul J. Swain celebrated two anniversary masses to honor couples who have enjoyed the sacrament of marriage for 25 years or more. The masses held annually at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls and Sacred Heart Parish in Aberdeen included receptions and the opportunity for photos with the bishop. The church holds the sacrament of marriage in high esteem because strong marriages build strong families. Recognition of marriage in the church shows other couples a good example of Christian love and sacrifice. The Catholic Church in Ireland has confirmed that a woman who is seriously ill with multiple sclerosis experienced a complete healing of all her symptoms at Knock Shrine in September 1989. The cure of Marian Carroll 30 years ago is the first officially recognized healing associated with Ireland's National Marian Shrine since an apparition witnessed by 15 people occurred there in August 1879. Earlier this month, Bishop Francis Duffy of Ardagh announced to a packed basilica that the church had officially recognized 68-year-old Carroll's healing. Pope Francis recently announced he will create 13 new cardinals October 5th, choosing prelates from 13 different nations as a sign of the missionary vocation of the church that continues to proclaim the merciful love of God to all men and women of the earth. The Pope included 10 men who are under the age of 80 and therefore will be eligible to vote in a conclave to elect a new pope. Three of the future cardinals are already over the age of 80, and the Pope said he chose them because of their service to the church. None of the new cardinals are from the United States. Hurricane Dorian left the coast of South Carolina and the Diocese of Charleston with far less damage than many originally feared it would. The storm brought high winds, storm surge, heavy rain, and flooding as it moved north along the state's coast September 5th, but diocesan officials joined state leaders in breathing a sigh of relief after it passed through. South Carolina was relatively unscathed compared to the devastation Dorian caused first in the Bahamas and then the heavy flooding it brought on September 6th and 7th along the Outer Banks of North Carolina. As of September 9th, no significant damage to churches or schools had been reported. Seattle Archbishop Paul D. Etienne said he will not live in the 9,000-square-foot mansion that many of his predecessors called home. In a letter sent to archdiocesan priests and deacons September 3rd, his first day as leader of the Archdiocese of Seattle, the Archbishop wrote, "While the Connolly House has been home to the Archbishop since 1920, it will not be home for me. I prefer to live a more simplified life," he explained, adding that he was exploring options on church properties and hoped to find an alternative soon. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
All right, Renee, thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Monsignor Charles Mangan and Father James Morgan, the rector of the cathedral. We're going to talk about Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio, as he's known. A formal name is a little bit different, and I always struggle to say it, so I'm going to have one of you say it. Monsignor.
Pietrocina.
Yes, he's from Pietrocina, and his baptismal name was Francesco Forgione.
Okay, yes. Very good. He's now a saint. And his relics are coming for a visit to the cathedral in the late part of September, September 29th. So we're going to talk about that visit. We're going to talk about what's going to happen during that visit, the fact that people are welcome to it, and then we'll talk a little bit about what relics mean. We'll talk a little bit about him as a saint. A lot of ground to cover this morning. I'm going to start with you, Father Morgan, sure. Because this visit is really a special opportunity for the cathedral, isn't it?
It's huge. This is not the first tour of these relics. They've been around a couple of times already, I think. I think they're picking the best places now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the Diocese of Sioux Falls. I mean, where else would be one of the best places with the best diocese in the United States? But so yeah, they've been touring for a while. The St. Pio Foundation is hosting this, so they the foundation fosters veneration and prayer, intercessory prayer through the saint. So yeah, they'll be here on Sunday, September 29th. I'm expecting, I think, a pretty large crowd.
Yeah.
You know, we had the relics of St. John Vianney way back in March. Mm-hmm. That was a Friday, but a Sunday is a bit different. So yeah, they'll be coming on Sunday, September 29th, more than just one relic. There's like six relics. I was amazed at the number that they're bringing.
Right.
And they're very particular about how we host this and how we're able to deal with the people who will be coming so that we foster a reverence and a sacredness for the veneration of the veneration of the relics. And yet, you know, just the practical aspects, too, of getting people in and moving. And so
I think there's a lot of fascination with this sort of thing, and we're going to talk about maybe a bit about why. I would want to go back to your mention of St. John Vianney relics and talk about reverence, talk about a crowd, talk about inspiration that happened because of the visit of those relics. And I think about that in terms of what's going to happen with Padre Pio's relics.
Absolutely. You know, there's do's or don'ts when it comes to relics and venerating relics. And, you know, what can you touch and what you can't touch? And we allowed, and we were told that we could allow people to come up and take their sacramentals, their mm-hmm. rosaries, their medals, whatever they might have, their scapulars, and touch them to the relic. That's all they could do. They couldn't lift the relic up, but they could touch the relic. I was amazed by that, what happened, what occurred that day in the cathedral. I did not expect that there'd be a line of people, two lines of people in the middle aisle, all the way back out the door.
Yeah.
And
for the whole day.
Yeah. And there was an aura in that cathedral when they venerated those relics of St. John Vianney. And I expect, as popular as Padre Pio is, St. Padre Pio is, there's going to be a huge aura of sanctity in that cathedral when people line up to see those relics.
Monsignor, you and I have actually had some recent conversations about saints and the fascination maybe isn't the right word, but we're attracted to these saints for some reason.
Absolutely, Jerry. And we know that they're attracted to us too. That's the thing, is that the saints love us and they want to help us get to heaven. And so when we're able to use various prayers, the relics, go to their sanctuaries and shrines, it's such a blessing. And in a sense, as the spiritual writers have talked about, there's a kind of increase in their own standing before God. Yes, of course, they're in heaven, but it's as if God is glorified and they are venerated by our willingness to venerate them.
And then what does that do for us?
I think, Jerry, it reminds us of our own passage from this life to the next, and also the fact that this life is important to use the time we have well, to live as God wants us to live and to live as these saints have lived. Yes, our life circumstances may be quite different. Nevertheless, the goal is the same, and many times the joys and sorrows are quite similar too.
Yeah. I think about the word pilgrimage a lot when we talk about this sort of thing. And certainly many of us would love to do pilgrimage to sites, different places, and many of us aren't able to do that. This pilgrimage is coming to us.
Correctly, Jerry.
It's a pilgrimage of the relics.
Yeah, correct, Jerry. It's the pilgrimage is here in mm-hmm. our diocese and in our cathedral. And, you know, instead of people having to travel all the way to Italy, you know, to San Giovanni Rotondo, right?
Yes.
To see what might be there of St. Padre Pio, you know, the remnants of his life there. They can come to the cathedral on Sunday, September 29th and venerate, you know, not one, two, three, four. I think six relics are coming.
Yeah.
And one of the most amazing things is like his mantle, which they're going to hang on a hanger. It won't be able to touch it, but it's going to be there, I think, behind the other five is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Tell us a few things about the day, some things that will happen during the day, so the different opportunities that people have.
Yeah, so it's Sunday. We'll have the regular Sunday masses at cathedral. We will have the presentation of the relic, and there's a ritual for it at 7:30 a.m. Mass.
So okay.
Once Mass begins, the relics will be brought in, probably by the Fourth Degree Knights of Columbus. I haven't talked to them yet, but if they're listening, yes, they'll be doing that.
Plan on that day.
they'll be brought in, and they'll be placed behind the altar rail, probably over by the bishop's chair, and then they'll be venerated in between Masses. When the last Mass is over for the morning, we'll move them to the center, because there's so many of them, where people can come up in two lines and then kneel down at the altar rail to venerate. And then we'll move them back at 4 o'clock for the 4 o'clock Mass. And then after the 4 o'clock Mass, we're going to allow people to venerate until whatever time they are there. Mm-hmm. And that means if that's until midnight, in talking to Miss Barbara Fitzgerald and some of these cathedrals and churches, basilics that they've been in, people have been there till midnight, so wow. We'll do this as long as we have to.
Wow, to allow as many people as possible.
Exactly.
The opportunity to do that.
So what's an once-in-a-lifetime opportunity?
Yeah, probably is, isn't it? At least for those that aren't able to travel to do that. Monsignor, talk a little bit, if you would, about what relics are. There's different classes of relics. Maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Yes. A relic is a reminder of a saint. It's something perhaps from the body of a saint, which would be a first-class relic. A second-class relic would be something that the saint used. So in the case Father Morgan described of the mantle of Padre Pio, that would be a second-class relic. A third-class relic is something, perhaps a rosary or scapular miraculous medal that I have that's been touched to a first-class relic.
Okay.
So these are the distinctions. But relics really may be parts of the body, may be something that a person owned, the saint owned, or it may be something that we own that we've touched the first-class relic.
Okay. Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio, was a fascinating fascinating man. I think I remember hearing about him as a young person, and I for some reason I felt very intimidated by what I heard about him, and I don't know that that's fair.
No, yeah.
But it took me a while to come around to understand who St. Padre Pio really is.
It can be intimidating, and there's story after story after story about St. Pio. Monsignor, yes. Do you know any offhand? I mean, I've heard so many myself.
Yes, there are so many great stories. One is, of course, his great commitment to the sacrament of penance and hearing confessions. There was a video of a man, a soldier from England during World War II, who had a chance to see Padre Pio for confession. And he recounted the story many years later that after the man told his sins, Padre Pio said to him, "And what else?" And the man said, "Oh, Father, that's it." And Padre Pio said again, "And what else?" And the man said, "Oh, Father, that's all I can remember." Padre Pio then described something that the man had forgotten to say.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, it was very disturbing for the man, but Padre Pio did not do it in a way to upbraid or embarrass, but rather to bring this out so that there could be forgiveness and healing and a new beginning. So there are multiple stories. One thing that I'm sure Father Morgan has heard is at the canonization mass in 2002, St. John Paul II, during his homily, said that he, as a young priest, had a chance to go to San Giovanni Rotondo in Italy to visit Padre Pio and went to confession to him around 1947 or so, I think. So that was very beautiful to hear, you know, that the Holy Father John Paul had benefited from the spiritual acts of Padre Pio, from his priestly ministry in having his sins confessed and forgiven.
Monsignor, we were there for that.
Yes,
in 2002,
yes, very
well.
I'm
not sure where you were standing, but I was way down the Via Conciliazione because every Italian from Italy was at that canonization in St. Peter's Square. It was an amazing sight.
And what I remember is they took the Italian fire department, sprayed us with water to keep us cool because it was extremely hot.
It was extremely hot.
Oh, my.
Yes.
But those are the years when you were working.
Yes, I was working there.
At the Vatican.
That's right.
So.
And what a great thing. And Father Morgan was in the seminary at the time and the North American College. So beautiful thing.
So great connections the two of you
have.
Being at his canonization.
Yeah, this will be meaningful, I think, for the both of us as
definitely.
Priests. And being there for the canonization.
Yes.
You know, too. Hugely meaningful.
Well, we haven't talked about one of the other aspects of St. Padre Pio. He was a stigmatic. He bore the wounds of Christ.
Yes.
I know a lot of people are either confused by that or maybe even don't believe, you know, that they think it's self-inflicted or whatever, but I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that that was the case with Padre Pio.
No, he went through so many investigations, and he once had a quip about Padre Pio before a doctor was like a mouse before a cat. I mean, you know, that it wasn't a very pleasant experience, but that he had been investigated so often and doctors had looked at these stigmata to see, you know, what was going on. But, you know, he had those, but he was not showing them or he was not flashing them.
Right.
You know, people would come and venerate them. He wore mittens or gloves. But it wasn't as if he was drawing attention to himself. It was always for the greater glory of God and the veneration of Mary.
That's a pretty common trait among some of the saints that you and I have talked about in the past, right?
Definitely. Yeah. There's always that commonality.
There's a humility.
Yeah, definitely.
Very much a humility. Yeah, one of the gloves will be one of the relics. And my understanding is a part of a bandage. He used to bandage them up, his hands too, once in a while. And yeah, to your point, Monsignor, he would try to hide them. He was not trying to, he would always cover, he'd have a long, long elb, you know, or
His habit
that he would wear. He tried to pull them over his hands so that he could hide those.
Yes.
And the stigmata is very misunderstood, but it's a paradox. Now, it's hard to wrap our human minds around this, but it's a blessing, even though it's a suffering.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus invites those who are so holy to participate in his sufferings, and it was painful for him. But yes, he saw it as a blessing too, and that's the paradox of it, because it's an invitation to participate with Jesus in his very life, and a part of that life was, you know, suffering in order to attain the resurrection.
Yes, and to continue with Father Morgan's comment, I think we have to remember Padre Pio's incredible love for the Mass. That wonderful line, he said, the world would be better off without the Son than without the Mass. And then his great love for Mary, and also just his willingness to be a spiritual father to so many, writing letters, still many letters, which are still today exist, that he wrote to his sons and daughters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so great love for children, great love for the sick. One of the hospitals in Italy that is the best hospital around, one of the best around, is the one that he was involved with at San Giovanni Rotondo, the house of care for the suffering, for the sick and suffering.
Right. Was he a diocesan priest?
No, he was a Franciscan.
Franciscan, a Capuchin.
A Capuchin, yeah.
A yes, Capuchin.
That's okay. Right.
And I know one of his famous sayings among all of his writings was just very pithy, right? Was it pray, trust, and don't worry?
Yes. Yeah. Some might say pray, hope, and don't worry, but
pray,
this
hope,
idea
and
is
don't
the
worry.
Same. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's very much one of his sayings that people appreciate.
Simple. Just so simple. Well,
yes. And I'll tell you, as I've come around to understand more about his life, it's, seeing that was actually very meaningful to me. I mean, this man who I had somehow made very complicated, with a pithy saying like that, it's like, oh, that's what your faith was about. Mm-hmm. And I think it yes, probably is. That's what mm-hmm, his faith was about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. So, great example.
Wonderful saint. We're really looking forward to this. I think we're, God willing, the weather will be nice, but no matter what, people are going to turn out for this.
I know, Monsignor, you're doing the rosary at some point during the day.
Yes, at 3:15 we'll have the rosary, and Father Morgan says there will be a novena prayer as well. We'll incorporate.
And does the veneration stop during that, or does it continue during that,
no,
and
we'll
then stop at Mass
that.
Time?
We'll only stop it for Mass times.
Okay.
But once Mass is over with, the veneration will continue, and yeah, we'll run it in between Masses. And
oh, even in between the morning Masses too?
I think we
too?
Will. Yeah, I think we'll wow, run it in between. Well, people, I think, will naturally just come up after yeah, the Masses.
Yeah.
But I think I think the longest part of that veneration will be after the morning Mass, the 11 o'clock Mass at noon, and then building up to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we'll just have to see what happens after we get done with the 4 o'clock Mass.
I kind of love your openness to all this in terms of what, you know, well, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. You have yes, to be. Yeah, you have to be.
Well, one of the reasons we're talking about it this morning is that I know you want to invite people from wherever, anywhere in the diocese, they're welcome
yeah, exactly,
to come, and the region for that matter.
This is a diocesan invite. This is a diocesan event, spiritual event, pastoral event, ministerial event for everyone throughout the diocese. So I would hope, and I'm expecting, you know, people are going to come from the parishes across the diocese and to witness this and to venerate.
This is maybe a chance for those that haven't had a chance to be in the cathedral, either recently or perhaps ever. I know from some of our towns, they don't necessarily get to the cathedral all that often. You probably are going to stand in line for a while.
You will.
But the beauty of the cathedral is such that you won't be alone.
No, you won't be alone.
And you have much to meditate on, much to pray over while you're standing in line.
Absolutely.
There'll be prayer cards, I believe, that will be handed out in the narthex, so they'll be able to say prayers as they're standing in line.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a prayer box to put intentions in, and those intentions will come up at the 4 o'clock Mass, the last Mass we have of the Sunday. All obviously a donation box, because there'll be plenty of materials there. And this is also to support the St. Pio Foundation too, so for the ongoing veneration of his relics and just the ongoing support of this prayer ministry through his intercessory prayer to him.
After being in Sioux Falls, I see the schedule next takes them to Rochester, Minnesota, so our neighbors to the east also get a chance to experience this in the Diocese of Winona. Mm-hmm. I know that there's other places around the country, as you said, where this tour is going, but this probably is a once-in-a-lifetime for here.
Yes. Yes, and to think that it's in the month of Padre Pio's feast day, we're getting the relics just a week after his feast day.
We are, correct.
Wow.
So we were shooting for that. We were hoping for that, and that's what we were able to obtain. They're coming from Oklahoma, Jerry, I think, just
okay,
before they come to us, and then to Rochester. And I think they're playing out here in the Midwest somewhere, but I did look at the schedule.
Yeah, some great opportunities. We hope people will take advantage of it. A last thought about this, Monsignor, before we will redo the schedule one more time with Father Morgan.
One interesting thing, Jerry, is I know a year ago there was talk about having them come, and they could not work it in to their schedule. So there are a lot of places in the country which would like to have the relics of Padre Pio. So let's give gratitude to God through our Blessed Mother for this opportunity.
We've been blessed in this diocese to be able to have these relics and the relics of St. John Vianney.
Yeah, I was going to say, two fantastic saints. Not that every saint isn't fantastic. But really two rather amazing men and their relics in our diocese within the year.
Yes, exactly. We'd have those opportunities, you know, come to us in the same year. This is amazing. It's a great thing.
And quite contemporary men. Really. Yeah,
exactly.
Not that many
contemporary
years.
Contemporary saints. Yes. Exactly. Yes. That's what makes the difference.
Yeah. We really are blessed. Father Morgan, one more time, walk through the day.
Yeah, exactly. Sunday, September 29th, the relics will be presented at 7:30 a.m. Mass. There's a 9:15 a.m. Mass, 11 a.m. Mass, and then there will be opportunity for veneration. After that, up until 3:15, the rosary will be prayed, the novena prayer, or the prayer of St. Padre Pio. One of those prayers will be prayed. The veneration will continue during that time. And then there's 4 p.m. Mass. That's our East African Mass, our St. Josephine Paquita Mass, and we'll let them, that'll be their Mass. And then there'll be veneration after that until the last person walks out the door.
Amen. Beautiful things.
Yes, it is.
We'll have to turn the alarms back for sure.
we'll look forward to hosting St. Padre Pio here in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Mention you, Ming, and Father Morgan. Thanks for being with us this morning. Renee, the whole St. Padre Pio stuff is so fascinating to me, and I know fascinating to you too from a different perspective.
Yes.
Because you wrote about it.
Yeah, where the next Saint blog post for the new Saint blog we have is going up, and it's about Padre Pio, so you can learn a lot more about him and how he might have been a little bit like us.
You know, and I know that's hard to imagine,
yes.
And yet I thought you did a great job of trying to help people to kind of get that feeling.
Yeah.
The saints are a bit like us.
They are.
Whether we know it or not.
Yes.
So look for that. It's on the website, sfcatholic.org, under the Bishop's Bulletin.
Yes.
All right. Very good. What else we got going on quickly?
Parish suppers and bazaars all over.
Great opportunities. You shouldn't miss those. Yes. They're great food and great fun.
Yes. And great company.
And build community and a lot of fun in all these parishes. All right. Well, thanks for that. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We thank you for joining us each week. We hope that you will be with us again next Sunday.